Totes Recall.
Welcome to Totes Recall, the podcast where we talk about what? A movie.
Oh no.
Not already.
Oh, and that movie is one we don't remember well.
Yeah.
And then after we've talked about it,
yeah,
we push pause on recording. Or probably stop.
Okay, all right.
Eat two pizzas, two salads. Nope. Thank you, patrons.
Thank you so much.
I'll watch that movie.
I just pressed the space bar, by the way.
All right,
I don't know if it's like...
You don't even know what it's mapped to?
It stops it.
All right.
Sure. And then after that process is finished, we come back down. We hit space bar again, presumably.
Yeah. I mean, we don't.
I usually push the record button at that
point. Oh.
Do I? Who knows?
Oh. Find out in the second half.
Yeah. Beth's bet she pushes the record button.
And then we talk about the movie, if we were right or wrong, how it looks through 2017 eyes, if we were wrong about, or I already said that. My name's Dan.
I'm Molly.
I'm also Dan.
And I'm Beth.
And our movie this episode is our spooky Halloween episode.
Organ music for some reason.
Wolf howling.
Oh, a fluttering bat.
Oh, a bunch of spiders are on me.
Maybe the moon is big.
Psycho.
It's Psycho. The movie is Psycho. Not
the original.
We have to say the original.
Yeah.
Everyone I've mentioned we were going to see Psycho with said, which one?
Why would they think
why
that?
Would they
no
think...
one saw the new one.
No one saw the new one.
Also, why would you watch? Why would we choose that?
Do they know how our podcast works?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess...
I mean, I don't explain it as well as you do.
We could technically watch the new one, because I'm pretty sure the new one is, like, nearly a frame-by-frame
reenactment.
I mean, maybe next Halloween.
Sure.
Oh, no. I
really watch remakes sometimes.
I already want to preemptively say I don't want to see the remake for the anniversary show.
Okay.
I just don't. And I have to tell you, my grasp on this film is very tenuous.
But you know you hate the new one.
But, yeah.
I know this story, but I don't know if I know the story because I saw the film or because of popular culture.
Yeah.
Like, it's even made its way into cartoons, so yeah, I feel like anything is possible. I mean, I'll be very excited when we watch the movie to find out whether I've seen it before or not.
Okay. Well, do you want to take a quick rundown of what you either remember from your life or from people telling you about it or just some whatever?
So it stars, is it Janet Leigh?
I don't know.
Somebody
no idea.
Famous. And she ends up at the Bates Motel because her car breaks down or something. And I don't know if there's a gentleman with her or not. But I do know that she gets stabbed in a shower.
Wow.
And there's that classic reet music. And you think that the guy who runs the hotel, the Bates Motel's mother, he keeps referencing his mother, but it turns out he is his mother, and he turns around in a chair and he's wearing a wig. Is that right?
I know that's what happens
in the cartoon. I also will add that this is an unusual movie in that I remember behind the scenes stories better than the movie. So I probably haven't seen it.
Like probably from like a Universal ride or something.
Yeah.
Because I for sure remember learning that blood is chocolate syrup.
On a ride?
Yeah.
Probably.
Oh, the Universal tour. I just went on that recently. There's a whole thing about Psycho.
Like you're on a roller coaster?
No, you're on like a tram or whatever it is.
That sounds
right. And it goes into different, you go to King Kong and all that stuff. But there's one point where you drive by the Bates Motel.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an actor sitting inside the house just waiting for the next tram to walk up. And like the tram person's like, or the tour guide is like, oh, look out, there he comes. And then he walks up to the, like next to the tram with a knife. It's terrifying. And then I like to imagine he just waits there until the train goes away and then just goes back to reading whatever book he was reading.
Yeah.
Or listening to this podcast.
Oh.
If you are a Bates reenactor.
Yeah.
Norman Bates.
A Norman Bates reenactment specialist.
Mm-hmm.
Tweet at us.
Please.
And let us know what book you're reading.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no. You're book reading or listening to this.
Let us know if you're listening to this.
Maybe you're doing both, in which case you're way too smart to be like just waiting.
Do one or the other. Like, cool it.
Yeah.
Or why? Or get a PhD or something.
Maybe he is. Maybe that's how he's paying his way.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
But, I mean, right. But if you were to lose track of time and not be there on cue, like there's a line around the block of people waiting to take your job.
Yeah, there's probably like a light that goes off or something.
Yeah, probably.
Or like a countdown clock.
Or just like your manager knocking on the wall. Bates!
Hey, Bates, get out there!
I like specifically looked at him for a very long time to see if he would break character while I could see him.
So
he
when
never
he,
did.
I need
I
to,
don't know how long he stood there.
Yeah, I need a little more detail. So like when you say he comes up to the tram and threatens you with a knife, does he literally just raise the knife and then just freeze for like 30 seconds or what?
Yeah.
Really?
Like because the train is moving by him. So like if you're sitting on the right side of the car, there's like
pro tip: don't sit on the right side of the car.
Also, don't sit on the right side of the car because that's where all the horrible things happen. Ooh. That's where Jaws pops up on the side, or Bruce, or whatever the shark's name is, and his name is Bruce. Don't worry about it. But yeah, he walks up to the car. The train is moving. It's like, oh, we gotta get out of here. Because the whole thing is dumb. But. But yeah, he stands there with a knife, and then he puts his knife down as the train goes away and just stares at the train.
Nice. Oh, nice.
And then I was like, is he going to break character? Never did.
Do you think he's a method actor and drives his partner crazy?
Maybe.
Does that he would have be a partner? Cool. Is he solo? Who is
his partner? I just mean like his life partner. Yeah, like his, or his roommate, or
do you think that
people in his
partner,
life?
He's like taxidermy?
Yeah,
oh, is that
mother?
What it is?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, this movie I saw when I was younger, and I totally called what was happening like very early in the movie.
It's because you had seen it in a cartoon.
Probably. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here's is she taxidermy? Because if so, she's very poorly taxidermy.
It's like a skeleton lady with a wig.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh.
But sorry, like Molly. He loves taxidermy. Like everything in the lobby is all taxidermy. There's so, like birds and stuff.
I
and
see.
It's weird.
Well, then he. Chiquette's bet he did a bad job taxidermy his mother.
I mean, it's the ultimate taxidermy, right?
I mean, does she have glass eyes? Like, you know?
I'm pretty sure she's like a skeleton.
Yeah, she's a skeleton.
Yeah, you're right. Ooh. But it's still...
Haunting?
Haunting.
I mean,
it's as haunting as those dead birds in the lobby.
Sure.
So, because what I remember about the behind-the-scenes stuff is that apparently Alfred Hitchcock was unhappy with the actress's portrayal in the shower. And I don't know if this is true, but the story is that he was really unhappy. He didn't feel like her screaming was authentic enough. And so he had them swap out ice cold water for the regular water so that he could capture her scream. And I remember hearing that story when I was a kid and having never seen the movie, I feel like I already innately understood power dynamics and patriarchy, because that pissed me off so much that maybe I didn't see the movie, not because I'm a scaredy cat, but because on principle.
Wow.
But probably because I'm scared. But yeah, I mean, that's a really shitty thing to do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you can't direct somebody, then maybe you're a bad director. Otherwise, you're just a trickster. Oh, Alfred Hitchcock fans, come at somebody.
What the? Now you are being a coward.
Hitchcock heads, come at me.
Dan puts his life on the line every episode for some fucking subculture of nerds. And you can't be bothered to get a couple of people angry with you?
Alfred Hitchcock heads are legion.
Yeah, but they might also, because they're Hitchcock, they're probably like, oh, Psycho is not very good. It's too mainstream.
Yeah.
I watch Rope every month.
Yes, Rope is good.
Do you think also maybe he's Creep Supreme-in and he just like wants to do a lot of takes with whoever in the shower? He's like, oh, it wasn't good enough. Shower scene!
My very not confident understanding of who Alfred Hitchcock was would lend me to believe, yes, that is possible. Creep Supreme.
He's like the Winston Churchill of film.
In what way? He's like a weird jubber?
Yeah.
But also Winston Churchill was kind of an asshole. That's fair.
I think
that's
fair. Respected.
Like a well-respected, older man asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also it's fine. All bodies are fine.
Yeah.
It's true. Oh, yeah.
Unless you're an asshole and then we can make fun of your body.
I mean, that's kind of the rule.
Is it? Oh, no.
I mean, it shouldn't be, but it is.
Yeah.
So, Well, no, because I thought about that because they did that nude portrayal of Trump, like the nude statue.
Yeah.
To presumably poke fun at him, and a lot of people were happy about it, but then a lot of people were like, well, this is just fat shaming in a different form.
Yeah, like, I was okay with it because it was mostly about him having a little dick, and that seems like exactly the kind of thing that would, like, rile him up. But, like, I don't know if there's a not shaming way to make a statue that's just like, you've got a little dick. I guess you could just do that.
Yeah.
Like a statue of Trump and then just a sign that says, like, in, yeah, like a sign that says, I have a little dick.
That's what it says underneath.
Yeah.
Like the plaque underneath.
Oh, sure. There you go. This man has a little dick.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, yes, all dicks. Like, all dick sizes are fine.
Sure.
Like now you're,
I mean, they are fine. Shaming. That's the thing. See, the problem with trying to make assholes feel bad is that the things they are concerned about, like, only they're concerned about them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I could go, this is not the place for me to have my, like, 20-minute essay on the word cuck. But anyway, Psycho is about a lady who has a complicated relationship with someone, I don't remember who, and then for whatever reason, she has to go to Bates Motel.
She steals money or
is
something.
Is that what, it's some kind of, like, a crimer? She's a crimer?
Yeah,
she's a crimer?
She
runs away.
And she's like a reluctant crimer, right?
With some guy.
Yeah.
And then he force her into it?
I don't remember.
I don't either.
But
Jaquette's bet, the man forces her into it.
Yeah, I'll double down on that with the specific phrasing, reluctant crimer.
Yeah. And then she goes to the motel for the night, and then gets killed by in the shower.
Is the motel just like a wait here for me crime partner, or is it?
Are they on the lam?
I think she's like, she's driving away from her
crime.
Oh, and she just gets like sleepy?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just like this. There's vacancy at this hotel.
Sure.
No wonder there's vacancy if you kill all your
people. Hey, man. Yeah. Good business model.
Ooh,
check
bet.
In, don't check out.
Vacancy sign is creepy and flashy.
Yes, yeah, that's right. I even know that.
Sure.
And then she's gone, and then her sister is like, what? Where did she go?
Oh.
And she stops at the Bates Motel with some guy who's like the detective, maybe. And then they're like, well, her car is here. And then, but it's not there. It's in the swamp in the back. They find it.
Oh,
I don't know.
They find it?
I don't know.
I remember him sinking
I think
the car.
They get out of the swamp.
Oh.
And then there's a staircase scene that's good.
I don't know.
That's like, towards the end, right?
Like, guy sneaks into the house.
Oh, sure.
Because he's like, that house has got to be it.
Then
he, like, climbs to the staircase, and then something scares him at the top of the staircase.
Staircase.
Top of staircase.
I think it's the woman who's in the house. I think the man goes to go get help or something, and she goes into the house, so she's by herself.
Ooh.
Oh.
And I think that's what the really scary part is.
Oy. So does this movie have too much exposition? Like Birds? Come at me, nerds! How about that?
Good one.
I don't
remember Birds except for the end. So
I mean, I don't remember anything before they get to the hotel.
Right. So if you aren't interested in that, if you aren't interested in non-motel scenes, then you could say, yes, it has too much exposition because it's at least 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like too much. Get to the hotel.
Well, I don't know.
It's good. It sets it up.
I think that's like what part of the reason the movie's famous is because like it sets up this whole arc and then kills the woman like halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's pretty good.
Like she's presented as a protagonist of the story and then just suddenly gets stabbed in the shower. And then it's like, oh, what happened to the lady I'm supposed to follow?
Oh, like Game of Thrones.
All right. I'm back on board.
Okay.
Good job, Hitchcock. Oh, Hitchcock is in all his movies. That's his thing, right?
Yeah.
He always has a self cameo.
Yep.
Yes.
What's it for this one?
Ooh. Great question.
Someone behind a newspaper.
I'm double danding on a newspaper. Do you think it's newspaper at motel or newspaper in the first 20 minutes?
In the first 20 minutes.
I might be thinking of Birds, but I think he's running to catch a bus.
Ooh.
And he misses the bus.
Because he's reading that paper too hard?
Maybe, yeah.
Like he comically throws the newspaper up in the air?
Yeah.
And he slips on a banana peel.
Just.
Well, I'm going to say he's hailing and failing to get a cab.
Oh. Nice.
Hail,
fail.
And failing.
Yeah.
Is the thing...
The old hail, fail.
Is the thing where he is like, this hotel is the scene of a terrible crime. Is that in the movie or is that in like promotional materials for the movie? Do you know what I'm talking about? Any of you?
No. I don't think that's in the movie.
Okay. Maybe it was for like the trailer.
Yeah, because all the Hitchcock trailers are like not clips from the movie.
Yeah, because the psycho... like
a separate thing.
I definitely remember there being something where Hitchcock is like standing in front of the hotel and it's just, or at the house or something. It's like, at this house, there was a terrible whatever, and we're going to tell you about it. I'm Alfred Hitchcock.
And, I don't know. Can anybody sing the tune of the Hitchcock song? Do you know what I'm talking about? Or it's like, maybe it was for that show that he
Oh, yeah, it is for the show. And then he walks into the shadow of himself. Fun music fact for me personally, I saw this movie years after that Busta Rhymes song came out, and I was like, oh, that's where that's from.
Busta Rhymes sampled Dad Hitchcock?
Yeah.
The stabbing, like,
no, the like spooky violin music that like trails the lady everywhere she goes. If you want, I believe the song is called "Give Me Some More."
Okay.
But it heavily samples the violins from this movie. And if you've heard that song and you watch this movie, I'm looking at all of you. You will remember what I'm talking about.
Okay. We'll post that music video on our totesrecall.com.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Totesrecall.com.
Where you check in, and then you can also check out.
Oh, good. There's okay. A website. And actually, you don't even have to check in. Like, you can just
click on stuff.
Just click on stuff.
Read things, watch videos, listen to the podcast.
It's a really good way to waste some of your work day.
Absolutely.
Yep. You can become a patron there.
That's true. There is a link. There's a link somewhere on that page.
Bottom right.
You can just watch the most hesitant light bulb come up over Dan's head just now.
No, I'm smoothly easing into a Patreon promotion.
Absolutely.
Donate a dollar.
Or $5.
Yeah.
Or more than that.
Or more. However much you want.
I want to make a special plug for a very cool Totes Recall tote bag.
Oh, yeah. It's a good
designed
idea.
Designed by our own producer, Beth Gibbs.
What?
It is so cool.
I forgot you did that. Yeah.
It is awesome. And it is available at one of the levels that you could read about.
$20.
Yeah. Is that true? Okay. Do you know that for sure?
I know that a fact.
Great.
Yep.
And you'll know it for a fact when you go to patreon.com/totesrecall.
Or totesrecall.com.
And then click on the
link in the lower right.
Yep.
Oh man, Gertie is upset.
Sorry.
Or Gertie is upset that more people aren't going to patreon.com/totesrecall. Good job, Gertie. ABC.
I remember the end of this movie is just like a... like a slow pan in on Norman Bates in like a straitjacket in an insane asylum.
Yeah.
Like just being his mother and himself.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's creepy.
It is creepy. Yeah.
And good.
That actor is real creepy. Beth's bet. He's real creepy.
Dan's bet. I don't remember which lady it is, but he definitely creep supremes through a wall hole. On that lady.
Yeah.
On at least one of those ladies.
I think it's first lady.
If not both of them.
It's before, I think it's before she, because she gets into the shower, and I think you can see it from his POV.
Yeah, first one would make more sense, because then it's like, the stakes are here at creeping.
Oh, sure. You just think like, oh, he's a creeper.
Now the stakes are stabbing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Stabbing stakes.
Ooh.
Stabbing stakes.
That's terrifying. Because they had that motel out in, where was it? Where there was a couple that owned it, and they had installed peepholes in all of the motel.
Yeah, I saw like a
ceiling.
60 what? Minutes or Inside News.
Wait, this was one building, or they had like chains?
No, it was a motel. It was one motel, and then they meticulously recorded how people had sex in all of their rooms.
Yeah.
Super supreme.
I think about that almost every time I'm in a hotel room.
Do you know how to tell if a mirror is two-way?
No.
Okay. What you do is you put your finger up towards it, and if there is no gap, like with a regular mirror, when you put your finger on it, there's a gap between your finger and the reflection.
Mm-hmm.
If there is no gap, get out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a no window. Gap,
creep, attack. Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure there's something that
great
rhymes.
Mnemonic.
Great. That'll help everybody.
No gap. Creep attack.
Yeah.
Yes.
On a
gap
t-shirt.
In the clear.
I am concerned. And so this is also the behind the scenes thing is didn't Hitchcock intersplice a creepy skull to have a subliminal effect during the stabbing scene?
I don't know.
Maybe. That's a thing I've heard.
Yeah.
You Molly's betting there's
I'm
a skull
betting
frame?
That, Yeah, there's, I don't know if we'll be able to see it, but I'll look it up online.
I mean, we should be able to see it.
Should we?
I mean, as much as people think how subliminal stuff works, your brain will register it.
Especially if you're looking for it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay, well, anyway.
Weird.
So, am I going to have trouble taking a shower after this movie?
That's my real question. I don't think so, as long as you trust the other people in your house.
Should I have washed my hair today already? That's what I'm wondering.
I personally did have trouble for a while after the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
Because then I was like, oh yeah, you are super vulnerable when you're in the shower.
Indeed.
Yeah. There's nowhere to go. There are three walls.
Yeah.
And then the murderer is on the other wall.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You can't hear anything because the water's going.
Yep. Yeah.
And you're nude.
Yep.
Ooh. Yeah.
It's a kind of lock up before you take a shower.
Don't shower. Yeah. That's our message for today's episode.
Yeah. Only bath.
You're just as vulnerable in the bed.
Well, you can see what's going
on.
That's
true. You can at least see what's going on.
But then you're lying down.
Yeah.
You need one of those, like, old people baths.
Yes.
Where you, like, are just sitting.
Yeah.
Like, super tall.
And there's
tall.
Just a door.
And then you just have, like, a rifle on your lap.
And you do it up on a hill.
Yeah. So you can see everybody. Yeah. Always, if you're designing your own home, always put your bathroom at the highest point in your house.
Anyway.
Dan's bet.
I also was scared in the shower.
Dan's bet, the detective character will be very condescending to her sister.
Yeah.
Like he'll just be like your standard whatever decade this is sexist.
Yep. Standard sexism.
Oh, we didn't talk about what year we thought
it
was.
No, we didn't.
Oh.
We didn't. I already know.
Oh.
Ree 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 ree.
I'm going to say
1954.
57. Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like I also know.
Cool.
Okay.
So I don't...
Like from your drive over?
Yeah, from my drive over, I feel like I really felt it. No, I feel like I know that it's in a 10 year.
Yeah.
And I want to say 60, but then I can't remember if it's 50 or 60.
Oh, fun.
Well, with my guess of 54, I've nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Speaking of condescending to women,
ooh.
How about the Bechdel-Wallace test?
Ooh.
Nope.
Ooh.
I think it might pass. I think the sisters talk at the beginning.
Yeah, that's a good. That's a
oh,
good
where
place
she's like, it. Oh, I'm going to this motel.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, yeah. If Norman Bates being his mom, does that count as a named character?
No.
I think she's just named mother.
And ooh. Also no
mother.
I think he just calls her mother.
Ugh, I already hate this movie.
Jesus.
I'll take top sisters bet.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they talk at the beginning.
Great.
Because I think she's like, where are you going?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I can't tell you.
Exactly. And then she says, I'm going to find a beau. He's very handsome.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But then they're like, my name is this.
Yes, exactly.
My name is that.
Right.
And then Hitchcock comes by. Oh, I need a cab. Yeah.
Oh, I'll have one hot dog, please.
A banana peel.
I literally don't remember what he sounds like.
No.
He's British.
He is. But I can't remember like what kind of British. Yeah, is that accurate? All right,
he's
good.
Kind of blah, blah, blah,
so he is like, yeah, okay.
He has a creepy cadence.
He does have a weird, I remember that. I don't remember what it sounds like though. Is this, and we kind of touched on this earlier, like for Hitchcock heads, is this considered like a movie that like everybody likes, but in terms of like Hitchcock's oeuvre, it's like just okay? Or are people like, no, this is like peak Hitchcock?
Well, I have no idea.
Like, I know it's famous and popular.
Probably the most famous Hitchcock movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. But is it
the
best?
Who knows?
I mean, like, I don't personally think it's the best Hitchcock movie.
Yeah.
Like, mine is Rear Window.
Is this early or mid or late Hitchcock? Probably early, right?
I think early. Maybe.
Is that a bet?
I don't know.
Sounds like
I'm not brave enough to bet that.
I feel like it has to be early Hitchcock if it's black and white and doesn't seem like it cost a lot of money.
Yeah, that's good.
Because some of his later movies clearly cost a shit ton of money.
Oh, yeah, North by Northwest.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Airplane.
What?
There's an airplane.
He also directed Airplane.
He took a, you know, he was ready for some
took fun. A risk. He took a risk, yeah, in his later career.
Yeah, this is a pretty low budge.
Mm-hmm.
Is this what catapulted him to the top?
Sure.
That I do think that.
I'll believe that.
Because I'm pretty sure in like, I honestly don't even know why, where I pick up the things I think I know about Hitchcock, so who knows how much of this is true. I feel like he was sort of toiling in like British obscurity in that he was doing great in England, but like the American market hadn't really latched onto him yet. Yeah. And I feel like maybe this is what like shot him to the top. Hmm. But I don't know.
Wow, it sounds like a bet to me.
Yeah, I'll take the bet.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Top shotter.
Top shot.
I bet the opposite. That. No, just to keep it interesting. I don't really care.
So what are you actually betting? You don't care?
No. Molly's bet. Don't care. That maybe this was, I don't care.
Like
you know
he'd what? Already, I, he, you're thinking, you're saying he already did well, and then an American studio was like, here's money, make this movie.
Yeah.
This is American Big Break.
I guess so.
USA number one.
Is that the name of the studio?
Yeah.
This is American Big Break Studio. Get me Al Hitchcock.
Give me Allie Hitch.
Give me that Allie Hitch. Or I honestly, I don't know. I'm realizing I know nothing about this man. Now I'm wondering like if all of his movies were more finance.
Honestly, I didn't know he was British.
Wow.
I don't know anything about him. He's a rotund fellow who makes creepy movies.
Yeah. Some of them aren't that creepy.
Really?
But they're exciting.
Intriguing.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's made some good movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, given all of this important information,
yes.
How many Crimer hotels?
Ooh.
Would you give it?
I guess it is a Crimer hotel.
It kind of is.
Yeah, except it only houses one Crimer instead of all of the worst Crimers.
Well, the Crimers come and go.
That's true.
Actually, they come and never leave.
There's one Crimer incoming, and then there's a Crimer already there.
That's true. Yeah. There's two a Crimers. Resident. That all right. Resident I stand Crimer. Corrected. There's a resident Crimer and a Crimer guest.
And really, that resident Crimer is two Crimers in one.
And you think about it.
Yep.
I don't buy it.
What?
he's not like possessed by his mother. He has a mental illness.
Yeah.
But he has both sides. Is okay. I want to watch the film first.
I mean, this is kind of a deep psychological talk.
We'll talk about it.
I think he's still one person.
Yeah.
Well, he's one person.
With a mental disorder.
Yeah, for sure.
But does the mom commit, does mother commit crime?
No, mother is a skeleton.
Mother's dead.
No. But does the identity of mother commit the crime?
Oh, only mother commits crimes.
Right.
Oh,
but it's still Norman Bates. He's not going to get off the hook. I mean, he kind of does. Because he pleads insanity.
I mean, we'll have to wait for the sequel when they show the trial.
Psycho 2. The trial.
It'll happen.
Okay, how many Crimer motels?
Are you talking to me?
Yep.
Ooh, I remember really digging this movie, and society has told me that I should, so it's probably actually a pretty good movie. So I'm going to say 4 Crimer hotels.
Ooh, nice.
I'm going to say 5.
Whoa.
Because I really like Hitchcock movies, and I don't remember this one very well, but what I do remember, I enjoyed, so...
Beth, you haven't mentioned if you saw this because it's on the AFI Top 100 and you've
watched all those? I believe it is.
But is that why you watched it?
I believe, I think I've seen it twice. The first time I saw it at a friend's house at a sleepover.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The second time, I believe I watched it because I watched all 100 films on the AFI
and we did. We should get like a little bell to ring every time you say that.
Yeah. Did anybody get any sleep at the slumber party?
Yeah.
Did anybody take a shower?
I remember thinking it's not that scary, but then I couldn't shower after. You know, there's parts of it that are like, that's really creepy, but some parts that are like, okay, whatever.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it's much more just like psychologically disturbing.
Yeah, yeah, it's more disturbing than scary.
Yeah.
Cool.
I am also going to give it a 4. I anticipate enjoying it, but I feel like there's going to be some stuff I'm like, who cares?
Uh-huh. Are you going to be like the kids today and be like, it's just a boring old black and white movie?
I mean, I've got that in me.
Yeah.
I've got black and white hatred in me.
If Toadsheads remember from previous episodes, Dan has mentioned that as a child, he had to like learn that it was okay to like black and white movies.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Casablanca will have changed me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is a 5, whatever.
Or The African Queen.
Whatever.
Also excellent. Or Chinatown.
Was The African Queen in color?
Chinatown was in color. African Queen was probably in color.
No, that wasn't in color. It's black and white.
Was it?
Really?
Ooh,
yeah.
I don't remember.
That's bad. African Queen is in black and white.
Go back and listen to episode 3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
Yep.
And tweet at us, # what that color.
# listen to your own podcast.
Maybe don't what that color.
# hump color.
Great. Oh, man. Okay. I am going to, for sake of controversy and because I really am unsure, I'm going to give it a 3. Wow. Cowardly 3.
Ooh, you're checking into the cowardly suite.
Yes. And hoping that I will come out just gushing about it.
Like Lady's wounds did after being stabbed.
See, I was thinking it and I was trying to not go there. I will be enthusiastic in my description when we come back, I hope.
Great.
Or I'll hate it so much.
Which will be a joy for the rest of us.
And with that, we're going to hit the space bar. take a break and we'll be right back. And we're back. We just watched 109 minutes of a classic Alfred Hitchcock film, Psycho. And it was real good.
Okay, there we go.
There it is.
Looking for a little of that Chase judgment.
I agree. This movie came out in 1960.
Yay, cheater Beth.
Beth. Who sort of remembered half
nailed it. I looked it up earlier this week accidentally, but then, still couldn't remember. Yep.
Was closest, I guess. She got the ones digit right.
What?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So all for you math nerds out there.
Wait,
yeah.
Before we get to that, Beth, did you click the record button or push the space
great question.
Bar?
I pushed the record button.
So like moused over, hit the button.
Click. Yep.
Cool. Wow.
Great. Nailed all it. You cool. Record heads out there.
Yeah. Come on.
It needed to be highlighted. Highlighted.
What?
Yeah.
Selected.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hovered over and clicked.
Hover,
click. Does the cursor click change bait. When you hover over
it's
it?
Clickbait.
Mm. Clickbait motel.
Boom, that's done. Gonna happen. God damn it.
Okay, let's run down Molly's predicts.
Yep.
One, Janet Leigh is in this movie.
Yes.
Nailed it. Mm-hmm.
Nailed it.
Bates Motel, and there's a car breakdown. No.
I mean, the car breaks down in a swamp later.
No. Stabbed in...
The shower.
Yeah, it's not what I wrote, but...
What did you write? Stabbed in...
It looks like stabbed in minor.
I think it says shower.
Shower?
It says shower.
Stabbed.
Like an S is sideways, and it kind of looks like an
H is like real low.
Yeah.
Anyway, you probably said stabbed in shower. Oh, and then there's re music.
Yeah. Re. That's true.
Nailed it. He is his mother.
Nailed it.
Yeah, as that psychiatrist at the end made very clear 17 times.
He explained that for way too long. Yeah, we get it.
Jeez. I was wondering, well, we'll talk about it later. And then lastly, he turns around in a chair.
Yep.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
As far as we know. I don't know if you watched that part.
Yeah, you seem to be covering your face.
But he doesn't
pretty...
turn around in the chair.
Well, there's a chair turn around.
Yeah. Skeleton turns around.
Or a big reveal.
It is turned around.
Yeah.
By
And you
sister.
Know what, though? I think in my mind, I had pictured that it was him in the wig, not the corpse.
Because
so
it happens
I think I
in
got
the
that
same
wrong.
Scene.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Doing like a James Bourne style reveal of a, of a villain.
Yes.
Great. That was the movie.
Well, great. Yeah. Cool
okay.
podcast.
Well, great.
And
good podcast.
We are done. This movie's great.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of good shots. I feel like that's not something that I pay attention to, or maybe they're not as good, or maybe Hitchcock's just distinct. But like, there's a lot of like, ooh, good shot. Like we were saying that a lot. That's a good shot.
Yeah, he has a lot of stuff that you don't... He had one specific shot that I've never seen before, but he has a lot of stuff that you don't see very often, I think. Mm-hmm. He really, like, thinks about placement and, like... And I think now when you're like, ooh, that's a beautiful shot, it's because most of it is, like, CGI'd and, like, made to be beautiful, rather than, like, here are the items we have in a room and people and shadow and,
Yeah, he's very... Like, you can kind of tell why he was as... lauded as he is, because he seemed to really be able to use the limited resources that he had to create interesting imagery.
Well, and it's funny because I think about usually if I'm watching a movie and I notice the shot, I feel like if I'm noticing the shot, then it's not a great sign. It's like noticing the script.
Or noticing the like weird angle choices in a Batman movie, for example.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or even, you know, Steven Spielberg likes to do the wink and the nod with like the objects in the mirror closer than they may appear. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's some of that that feels really clever. All of this felt, and I feel like a real dum-dum trying to talk about Alfred Hitchcock movies, but I felt like all those choices were really emotionally resonant, and I love that the first thing you do is that you're sort of a voyeur and you're peeking out from under the shades into this personal couple space, mm-hmm. right? So you start out and you you start out with the side of a building and you zoom in and you get to see this couple very exposed.
Yeah.
It feels mm-hmm. very voyeuristic,
yeah.
which is foreshadowing for the voyeurism that happens later.
Indeed.
Yeah, no, it was all like really cool shots. And there were only a couple that I was like, that seems just kind of cool for cool sake, but I don't mind.
Yeah, mm-hmm. can we talk about that one? The undershot of his chin?
Yeah.
There's like a point where Norman Bates is, there's a private eye that comes to the motel.
Arbogast. What was his name?
Arbogast.
And he asks to see the the guest book.
Mm-hmm.
The register.
Register. I couldn't remember what that was called, so I went with guest book. The register. And Norman Bates is eating a bag of candy. And there's a shot where he leans over to look at the register as the private eye is also looking at it. But it's just like a shot underneath his chin for like a long time.
And while it's like chewing.
Horizontal.
Yeah.
Like it's not, it's below him, but it's not right below him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a bird thing?
I don't know. Oh, or like you're watching like him swallow or something.
Yeah.
Like the bird swallow.
Oh.
Wow.
The bird named Swallow.
Yeah.
Oh.
I just wrote your thesis for you. Great. You're welcome.
Okay. I mean, that could be.
Yeah. I mean, it's,
that shot was weird.
It was weird, but it, like, I don't know, like that seemed like it was too odd of an angle for it not to be like a deliberate choice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So and it
that
almost
might have been like he's got a little too far. Like reel it in a little, Hitchcock.
I mean, it might have been like if you think about seeing this in the movie theater, it might have just been like he just wanted to make you unsettled by Norman again. So it's just like, what if his entire neck took up 90% of the screen for like a long time?
Well, it does make him almost, you never look at anyone from that angle.
Yeah.
So it almost makes him look like inhuman.
Yeah.
So that's, monstrous. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are like a lot of the shots are so close up on people's faces. Like in the theater, like, that must have been insane.
Yeah. Well, can you imagine, like, can you imagine seeing this back when it came out in the theater and, like, it cuts to, it's like, you know, when you, it pans over to the drain where all the blood is flowing down and then just, like, fades into Janet Leigh's, like, gigantic eyeball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so unsettling.
There's a couple of giant eyeball shots.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that's really good is when Norman Bates is creeping through the hotel hole.
Yeah.
And there's just like a side view shot of like his giant eye and the hole, and that's the entire frame.
Yeah.
It's really, looks really fucking cool.
Good
job, Al.
Good stuff.
Good job, Al. Oh, yeah. While we're still talking about cool shots, I specifically noted there's a point where Miriam, who's Janet Leigh, is like driving through the night, and like she keeps having these like hypothetical conversations of her, like, of the other characters that she's interacted with going running through her head, and like it gets darker and darker outside, but the lighting never changes on her face.
Mm-hmm.
So like you just, it just like every time it cuts back to her driving, like her face, like her terrified face, is just more and more like the, you know, the object of your focus, and like as it gets darker, everything else just slowly fades away, but the light never changes like right in front of her face. It's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, you only see her relaxed and happy for the first 3 minutes of the film, right?
Pretty much.
And when she's with Samuel in that hotel room, which is very racy.
It was.
Yeah. It was racy.
I mean,
underpants.
Right, there's a lot of her in her underpants.
Yeah, and a lot of Sam just like leaning out a window, half naked.
Yeah.
He like kept going back to the window.
I was thinking about that. I was like, would, if this movie were made today, would she have just been naked?
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. that was just, like, as naked as she could be in that point in time.
Yes. And Sam would have been, like, at one point when Sam was leaning out the window, like, you would see his, like, perfectly toned buttocks.
Yeah. And that pelvic bone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it's better with them clothed.
Yeah.
I mean, if I were directing a movie,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just feel like it's less like it. It is like more like it shows that intimacy that they have, but at the same time, it doesn't take away necessarily from. It's not like distracting. Like, put some clothes on.
I appreciate that the way that Sam was shot when he was leaning out that window, it's implied that he is basically just hanging brain out to anyone walking the streets of Phoenix, Arizona. Because he's just got his dress shirt on. And they make a joke out of it when she leaves. She like looks down. It's like, you have to put your socks on or shoes or whatever
shoes
it was.
On.
And he's clearly still naked from the waist down. And keeps going back to the window. Like, he went back to that window like 4 times.
You gotta air it out.
Air it out.
Furious hotel lovemaking.
But I mean, I don't know.
He's gotta go back to work.
Yeah.
You gotta air that stuff out before you go back to work.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously this is a classic film, but it is bothersome to me that her killing is so sexualized and such a, like, she's naked and it's very intimate and intense.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other murder that happens to happen during this is the killing of the private detective.
Mm-hmm.
And he just gets clonked on the head with something heavy.
He gets stabbed.
Fully
in the head.
Suited.
Stabbed in the face.
Yeah, I think hers, I don't know, to me, I mean, there's clearly the part where he's, like, looking in at her, but I almost never feel like he's, I mean, he's looking at her because
did you not listen to the psychologist at the end?
He's attracted to her,
yeah.
Right? But I do feel like it is more like she's so vulnerable mm-hmm. in that state.
I guess so. I know. I guess I feel like so much of movie making continues to be, though, about women who are both being victims of a crime and who are sexy about doing it,
sure.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Crime against women is sexy in a way that crime against men is horrific, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Like, I mean, obviously, this film was from 1960, but it's... We're well into the 2000s,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Pretty far in.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like that's changed.
Yeah.
Well,
that's true.
Yeah, and it might be like, I think what you're saying is it hasn't changed, and it's like, obviously, since this movie happened in 1960, and it's like this, like the, one of the most famous murder scenes in all of film,
yeah.
Like maybe think of something else.
Yeah.
Than like killing a naked lady. Right? In 2017?
It's been done.
It's been done.
We've
like,
knifed a naked lady.
It was done really well over 40 years ago.
It's true. What, there were like 70 different shots, and it was shot over 3 days, that 3 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Jeez.
I mean, I did a web search.
Sure.
Oh, also, I am happy to let the listening public know that that is a false rumor about the cold water on Janet Leigh to get a reaction.
That's good.
So she just nailed
it. She's just a great actor.
She's a great actor, and Hitchcock was not manipulative, and apparently there's this other rumor out there that he didn't tell her character was going to die.
Oh.
Yeah, but that's not true, because I would assume it's in the script.
Yeah. I don't know how you would shoot that scene not knowing.
We're just going to do 3 days and 70 angles of you showering.
Yeah.
Also, here's some chocolate sauce.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, you guys. So, can I just say one thing about the shower scene also?
Yes.
Is that there is a very slight amount of blood. The chocolate syrup,
yeah.
You're correct.
Mm-hmm.
There's very slight amount of blood, and they spend like a lot of time with Norman Bates cleaning up the crime scene.
Yeah, a lot of
like
time.
A long time.
Yeah.
Like maybe too long.
Yeah. I honestly was thinking like, this is boring. I was like, oh, maybe it's arty. And I for real couldn't decide whether it was a great scene or a terrible scene.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought it was great because it made it real, right?
Yeah.
That he's not just like, you're not cutting to something else like his... tidying up of it was so specific. Trigger warning for anyone who cares a lot about pets or is worried about gunshots, fast forward for 2 minutes. My friend's dog got shot in the head during a home invasion, which was horrifying, absolutely horrifying. And so they came home to the situation on their back porch. And the police, they'll do some things, but they won't do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is they weren't going to take it to forensics or anything. But if we could take the dog in to the vet and get the bullet removed, they could use it as evidence if something else happened in the city. Anyway.
Was they not going to do that?
What?
They won't do that?
The police won't do that?
Yeah.
No.
It's bullshit.
Yeah, right? So anyway, so me and two other really close friends came over, and we were like, we'll take care of it. And so, and you know how I feel about animals on screen getting harmed. Mm-hmm. This was like really gruesome. But you know, like, I don't know. I think if you're doing it in the service to your friend, it's very easy to do in that way. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, I couldn't take off the dog's collar. Like, I couldn't bring myself to do that. But I found myself able to clean up like blood and brains and stuff off the floor. And as I was cleaning, I was like, note to self, do not ever try to commit a crime, because all those places where there's grout and any little divot in any of the tile, blood does not easily come up. So, like, there's, you can't just get an old mop and, like, mop up and wash like down.
A white towel and that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and as, yeah, you really can't get to all of that. So I encourage, first of all, keep your pet safe, and I hope nobody ever encounters that. But also, please don't commit a crime. And if you do, don't expect to get away with it, because, holy shit, it is really hard to clean up after that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, just, like, because it's horrible to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't totally. Break into people's houses or kill their dogs.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Or just like, in any way, perpetuate that sort of violence. Yeah, that would allow blood to seep into anything.
Just oh. Totes recall PSA.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it's true. There is a follow-up.
Okay.
Yeah. It turns out that the suspects in that situation were shot as part of a home invasion.
Wait.
They invaded another home and got shot?
Yeah. They'd done a string of crimes. It was four people.
They were doing the invading.
They were doing invading.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I took it the other way, too. Yeah. Okay. I was like, wow, dramatic irony.
And McGruff came for them.
Oh, no. Wow. It's so dark. But anyway, yeah. So they were, some of them were critically shot, and I think one of them survived but went to jail.
Jeez.
So that bullet became evidence in that other crime.
That's crazy.
It's wild.
Yeah.
That is wild. So do you think there was the way you started this though, like it sounded like you were saying there wasn't enough blood, right? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, for this murder scene,
yeah.
There's not, I mean, in my mind,
yeah. I mean, she got stabbed multiple times.
She got stabbed multiple.
For sure. The wall should have any blood.
Yeah. Like when she like kind of drags herself down against the wall
and it's spotless.
And it's clean. I'm not really sure actually what he was cleaning up at all.
So my question is, because that's what I think, because you were saying, like, the fact that the cleanup takes so long is sort of what makes it convincing. Like, I almost wonder if that was, like, that was a specifically, like, mandated limitation. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Like, maybe the producers or the studio is like, you can't have blood splattered everywhere. Like, we'll never be able to show this to anybody.
That I believe.
That makes it, well, and also, I mean, the other part of me was like, well, if Norman Bates is trying to adopt the character of his mom is clearly a tidy person.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine him being strategic and not creating a lot of blood.
Yeah. Right? Or just not being as forceful in his stabbing either. If she's a frail old lady, maybe he's like pulling his punches a little bit.
I mean, he specifically, it's like clear that it's going to happen in the bathroom, right?
Yeah.
Because when he's showing her around the room, he goes like, and in there, like he can't even say the word bathroom, and like that part to me was so perfect because it's like he's done it before, like that is where he kills people, in that shower, because the water's already running and it makes it easier to clean up,
right? But you think he's just like a weird prude at first, like if you haven't seen the movie, you're just like, oh, he's just like a guy who can't conceive, like he can't verbally conceive of a woman using the bathroom, because that's weird to him.
He's so awkward.
And he's like so awkward. Yeah.
And he's so good.
He's really good.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Like from scene one of him.
Yeah.
Just like this dude gets all your attention.
Creep supreme.
Yeah. And he's creep supreme.
I don't think he's that creepy at first.
Yeah.
He's like so sweet.
It's just
at
uncomfortable.
First. And he's like a good looking guy and like is like, oh yeah, here's your room, whatever. Yeah. And then he like starts talking about his taxidermy, and that's where it all
but
goes
even
down
at the beginning though, like I feel like even in the first when he's first introduced, like he did such a good job of just being like just slightly off with his social cues, like the way he interacted with her, like he just everything was like a little delayed or like just a little, I don't know, just off kilter.
Yeah, and you forgive so much, right? Yeah. You're like, oh, well, this guy's just a little...
awkward just a loner.
It's very easy to... Yeah. Whew. That, I have to say, that scene in the parlor. So he insists on bringing her... what is it? Sandwiches?
Sandwiches and milk, which I, like... felt ill about just like
I
don't know. A visceral reaction to it,
and then it didn't help that when he brought it, it was like literally a gallon of milk.
So much milk.
The sandwich was like in like a saran wrap, like
wax paper, which there's also a wax paper sandwich at the
beginning.
So I assume sandwich means sex.
Oh.
And then also that creepy ass dude that has the $40,000 to begin with.
Oh, I wrote that. Skeevy Cowboy.
Skeevy Cowboy walks in and says it's as hot as fresh milk in here.
Oh.
Which I don't know if that's a normal expression.
I loved Skeevy Cowboy so much.
God, what a creep.
So creepy. Yeah. And he was wearing like a 18 gallon hat or something. Like it was just so much higher on the, like, his, the top of his head clearly ended, and then his hat continued for at least another 4 to 5 inches.
He's he says the most horrific things to what's her name, Marion?
Oh, yeah,
right,
yeah.
And it cuts to her coworker.
Oh, so good!
Which is like my favorite moment in the entire movie because she's just like, like, what's happening?
Yeah,
and then he walks in. He walks into the other room with her boss and closes the door, and she goes, he was flirting with you. Like, duh.
Yeah, and then she was like, he must have seen my wedding ring.
Yeah, so flirting. He's just, like, harassing her.
Yeah, well, it was so funny. I was just like, it was immediate, too. Like, he, like, just... start, he just like went over and like sat on her desk.
Yeah, he like puts his hand too far onto her desk.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like it's a weird, just like now your space is mine power move.
Very much so.
And he really wants her to look at a picture of his daughter.
Yeah,
he keeps calling his baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's 18 years old. Yeah. She's a grown adult
and getting married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gross.
And he's giving her this house, paying with cash. Like everything about it was so slimy and disgusting.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which I guess, you know, helps in her mind to justify taking money from the slimy, disgusting guy. Yeah. She's not taking it from an orphanage or something.
Right. It's not like a nun comes in and just like, oh, we're buying a new church building.
Awesome. To help the orphans get to school.
But then the nun still sits on her desk and gets way too in her face about it.
Would you like a sandwich and some hot milk?
She was flirting with you.
When we last to confession, my dear.
You were having sex in a hotel room earlier. I can sense it.
You smell like a sandwich.
Yeah, I loved Skeevy Cowboy. I loved Caroline, or Carolyn, the secretary lady.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other secretary?
Did have a name.
She did have a name.
Did they speak to each other? They did about the
they
money.
Did. They did, but here's my question for you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I looked into this because we were desperately trying to figure out if this movie passed the Bechdel Law test. Mm-hmm. She is named only in Marion's like paranoid hypothetical conversations later in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's real, though.
Does that count?
Yep.
Yeah.
She's
the movie. The movie named her.
Yeah.
Because they talk about my favorite thing, which is
pills.
Yes.
Yeah.
Other secretary. administrative assistant offers her a tranquilizer for her headache that her mother gave her on her wedding night.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is wild. Yeah. What is that? Like, you're gonna have sex the first time and it's gonna be a bummer for you? Take some tranquilizers?
Probably.
Is that that line of thinking?
That's my understanding, yeah.
Yeah. Too bad.
Yeah.
That is too bad. I am sorry, women of the 60s and...
Today.
Today. All time. All time.
All time.
Men are the worst.
Oh, boy.
Here's the grossest cowboy you've ever seen creeping on you. Now I'm going to tell you how I had to take tranquilizers on my wedding night. Yeah. And that's a normal thing
in
my life.
I feel like with Skeevy Cowboy character, like, all I could think was, like, there is probably at least... I'm going to say at least 25% of 20-somethings working on Wall Street to this day are exactly like Skeevy Cowboy.
Oh, for sure. He's the Wolf of Wall Street.
But
the cowboy.
Yeah. And in Phoenix.
Yeah. The cowboy of Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's his name.
Pistol of Phoenix?
It doesn't matter. Anyway, she steals 40 grand from him because she's a badass.
Yeah,
and she wants to get her lover, Sam Loomis, out of debt so they can get married.
Yeah.
Oh, but she's such a bad crimer.
Oh, she's so bad at criming.
Everyone's bad at everything in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's her first time criming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's not going to be great at it.
So as she's driving away, there's a whole series of scenes where she's being followed by this cop, essentially. Yeah. She pulls off the side of the road to go to bed because she's getting too sleepy. And she wakes up and there's a cop leaning in her window. And that shot is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
His face takes up the entire screen.
And, like, the lighting was so, like, the lighting was so cool because any scene that he was in, his glasses were the darkest thing on screen. Yeah. No matter what. Like, the entire time he was in the movie, his glasses were crazy dark. I almost wonder if they painted them and that actor couldn't see.
I would believe that.
Yeah. But she is just, like, she could not be more suspicious.
Oh, it's amazing.
Like, mm-hmm. everything she says is suspicious. The first thing she does is try to drive away from the cop.
Knocking on her window, she starts the engine.
Yeah, she's like, and just starts driving away.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Although you believe that she and her sister have the same kind of, like, life or world frame.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because she is, I think she's pretty sassy with that cop. Yeah. Where she's not,
nervous.
She's nervous, but she's also like, I don't care to be here anymore. Do you have any, you know, reason to keep me?
Yeah.
And she kind of calls him on his shit, but he, you know, clearly she can't stop him from following her.
Right.
Yeah, and then she, in front of a cop, sells her car for a new car, which that completely defeats the point of...
like getting away from him?
Yeah, of getting... Like, he's standing across the street the entire time.
Like, super
also,
obviously.
That shot I thought was incredible. Mm-hmm. Just, like, every time they cut to him, it's like his car's parked on the side of the road, and he's just leaning against the car, and the traffic is going by in front of him. But it is, like, so intimidating, him just standing there. I thought, I was like, that's a great shot.
Can we jump back to the side of the side of the road, stop for 1 second and discuss her incredible spy move where she deliberately turned away from the police officer and very deliberately took the wad of money out of her purse so that she could get her license.
Yeah, there wasn't anything suspicious about that.
No, not at all. Like, I certainly, if I were a police officer, I would never be suspicious of a driver who very clearly turned their back to me and then rifled through their bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as she was leaving the car lot where she had traded in her car and had done no negotiations and was just in a hurry, even if she had just, anyway, it doesn't matter, does no negotiations, is trying to get out of there, she tries to drive away without her suitcase and coat, which are in her old car. And she does that in front of everyone, and then as she drives away, there's like the three men all stand kind of at this amazing angle. I don't know, man. It's cool. Patriarchy?
Sure.
Yeah.
Can we talk about one of those three men right now?
Oh, yes. Please,
California Charlie.
California Charlie. The car dealer.
The car dealer who has the weirdest, like, sales method I've ever seen. Like, he literally walks out, gives the longest, like, the most long-winded opening salvo I've ever heard, where it's just like, oh, you're going to be trouble. You know, they always say the first customer is always trouble, but I don't believe that you're trouble. Like, he just keeps going. Like, it's just like, buddy.
He kind of...
just one and done.
He's like, negging her, and then immediately undercuts himself. Yeah, it's wild.
Oh, it's great.
I bet he sells cars like hotcakes.
Like, crazy. And I love how he... I mean, this might just be because he kind of talked like Bing Crosby. Like, I kept thinking he was just going to, like, break into song.
Well, he did have a bow tie.
Right?
Like a barbershop.
Yeah, singer. He had a bow tie. He had a wonderful baritone voice. And just, like, kept going off on these weird tangents for no reason.
Yeah. California Charlie.
I mean, and every time when he was insisting she take it for a test drive, because he didn't want her to say anything bad about California Charlie. That's where I honestly thought that was going to be the plot twist, is that she took the car without pre-driving it or taking it for a test drive, and it was going to break down at the maintenance guy. Maybe that was in an earlier draft, but probably not.
Maybe.
Yeah, he's a trustworthy fellow.
Yeah, it's California Charlie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
All of California has bestowed upon him.
He got there first in the nickname pool.
Yeah.
And he got to draw this whole state.
Okay, so when they're in the parlor, when Norman and Marion are talking in the parlor, we kind of touched on it, but I feel like we should explore that a little more, because it was Creep Supreme. Like, that was when, like, he just completely lost any pretense of being just a weird guy. Like, he clearly became, like, threatening in that scene.
Yeah, and there's this beautiful, really, like, low shot with, like, creepy owl taxidermy in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's like a long sustained monologue of him sliding into being creepy and aggressive. Mm-hmm. And his, I don't know, his language is so, it dances around. It's very controlling.
Yeah.
Like he's always sort of backpedaling a little bit, but then showing that he like is also a threat and then is nice again. And I don't know. It just felt like very realistic of a creepy dude who was manipulating the situation super well.
Like there's a great moment where she's like, oh, I'm gonna go to bed, or it's like, oh, you don't want to spend a little more time and talk to her? And then she like starts to give an excuse, and then he just like puts his hand up like, it's fine.
Yeah. It's
fine. And then does his weird little smile.
Yeah.
He said, I wrote down one of the weird things he said at one point when he was just talking about how like people suck. Basically, like once she said something about like putting his mother in the madhouse or whatever, like he just kind of immediately turned.
Somewhere. Yeah. She says somewhere.
Someplace, yeah. Someplace, but at one point he says something about how people cluck their thick tongues. And I was like, that is the grossest sentence I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, that gave me like the chills. Yeah. Just like, ugh.
Yeah. He also, I think it was in that monologue where he says the famous line, we all go a little mad sometimes, right? And then Molly immediately said, okay, I'm out.
Yeah.
And, like, covered her face and looked at her phone.
Yeah. During a conversation.
Yeah.
He also says in that one, forgot it.
Well, I wrote down, a boy is a poor substitute for a lover.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Yes, that was awful. a mother is a boy's best friend. Or a boy.
Something like that.
Something, whatever.
Yeah, because she asked if he has any friends.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in that scene.
Yeah. And it's great.
Like that dude crushes so hard.
So hard.
It was really great. Was there no lock on that fucking door?
Which one?
That room number one door must have never been locked, even though he gives her a key.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't lock it when it's empty.
I think there are two keys hanging on the hooks.
Yeah.
Oh, gross. So he just gives her one?
Yeah.
Yeah. But also the window's open.
Can't we just all ask for every key? Well, and I'd also like the master key, please.
I mean,
I'd like every single plastic key that you have.
Right.
It's pretty standard hotel business.
To have a key to
the hotel people can get into any room.
Right.
Ugh. Like, you know that, right?
Have you never realized that?
That's why you have that little, like,
thing?
Metal one that you can close.
Yeah. I don't think I'm not testing every mirror from here on out.
Sure. Well, make sure every bird
painting
is also not a peephole or whatever.
Well, it's the peephole's across from the bird
paintings. Oh, right.
It's probably just in the wall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you figure those out. I mean, if they're really cheaply done, then you turn off all the lights and you see a pinhole of light coming through.
Right.
But if they're doing a good job, they got a little slider thing over.
Ooh.
And then you can't tell.
A slider thing over?
Like to make it so it's dark when they're not looking through it?
Yeah. Just like a little. I don't know, it's in some other movie.
And if they're really good at it, they replace the eyes of a painting.
So really what you should be doing is making eye contact with paintings as you walk by and to see if they follow you as you walk.
I get it. Like
flipping the finger at them.
Yeah.
Speaking of Molly having hilarious reactions to the horrors of Norman Bates, there was this incredible moment where Norman as mother had killed Marion. And the scene that she was talking about earlier that you really liked, where he's like cleaning up and they're making he's taking this very deliberate choice of like cleaning up everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we're basically watching a man like make a woman disappear.
Yeah.
And then only when he pulls the car up and opens the trunk do we get a verbal reaction of Molly where she goes, ugh, too spacious. Like, it seemed like the trunk disturbed you more than anything else in that scene.
This 60s American opulence. They'll drive tiny electric cars.
Don't they know that the planet is warming up? And we're driving these boats everywhere.
I think, honestly, that speaks to my hope, like, against hope that there would be some obstacle to his plan.
Oh, sure.
And so when he pops that trunk and he's got all the space in the world.
He literally could fit her, all of her luggage, and probably another set of luggage if he wanted to.
I was like, oh, this is how people snuck into drive-ins. Right? Like, you could get four people in there. Ugh. Anyway, so I think that was just I was holding out hope that there would be some kind of obstacle.
And then like, would she come back to life?
No, I don't know.
Or be like,
know.
Weekend at Bernie's?
Like, everything was just so easy for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was a really easy thing, and I didn't want it to be. So.
Yeah. I mean, it was easy. I think it was, in that situation, it's so easy because it shows he's done it before.
Because
I bet the first time he did it, not so easy.
Yeah.
just like her committing crime.
Right.
Not so easy.
Yeah, like the first time he did it, probably the next guest that came over, he's like, what? I don't know anything about a swamp. There's no cars there.
And I just peeled out.
Speaking of first time crimers,
yes.
We bet that, or someone did, that the man would make the woman a reluctant crimer.
Mm.
No.
No.
She's a strong, independent first time crimer.
Yeah. He didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's kind of a dud.
Yeah.
Samuel Loomis or whatever.
Sam Loomis, yeah.
I mean, he's fine. He does a good job, but he's kind of just like, at one point, the sister, who is great.
She's great.
A real brassy broad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of the Chessy style.
Yeah.
Yes. Miles.
Absolutely.
Asked him, like, well, did you say, what should I do? Or what should I do?
He's, so at this point, the private investigator called them and was like, I'll be back in an hour. Or less. Like, he made it very... There was a pause, and he said, or less. And then the sister said, he said an hour or less, like, 18 times.
Yeah.
And then they were like, all right, well, we'll go ourselves.
Yeah.
And Sam is like, I'll go. And then she says, why can't I go with you? And as he's putting on his coat, he just is like, I don't know. And that's the argument. Like, that's it. It was amazing. It's like they distilled all of, like, patriarchal bullshit in one scene. It's just like, why can't I do this with you? I don't know. And then he just goes and does it anyways.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But then, look, he fucks it up when he goes alone. He's like, oh, there's some lady telling me I can't come in the house, and I came back. And it wasn't until Sassy Sister's like, that's dumb. We need to keep investigating
this. We need to go back. Well, first thing, okay, we should talk about Abrogast.
Abrogast,
who has the best lean in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize this movie was going to be about men leaning. Like, I didn't realize there was going to be, like, I could write a thesis on men leaning, but we need to talk about men leaning.
Yeah, Abrogast comes into the hardware store
where Sam works.
Sam works.
Yeah.
And he just, like, arms crossed and does, like, probably, like, 20-plus degree lean onto the counter.
Amazing.
And he's leaning into something, which makes me think that he did the lean, and he's like, just keep doing it. Yeah, like, just jabbing into my back, but you know what? Stay cool. Yeah, stay cool.
Like, it looks like he, like a cat, like, trying to play it cool, like, when they fuck up, where, like, he doesn't realize the counter is so low behind him. Because, yeah, like, it does, it seriously just looks like... No one should have, like, when you, I just feel like when you look at the angle he's at, no one in their right mind would have seen that counter compared to their own body height and be like, yeah, I can lean on this.
Yeah, but he owns it.
It's incredible.
He owns that lean.
He really does.
Yeah. And then we get some more good leaning at the end.
Yeah. Well, even Beth mentioned the cop lean. Like, that was good. Lean. Like, just the little lean on the car.
Yeah,
that's a good lean.
So many good leans. Oh, Abrogast.
Abrogast.
I don't know. I just want to talk about his lean.
Oh, he was the victim of the scare case.
Oh my god, the scare case was the scariest part of this movie for me. Like, my back just rippled with tension when it's a bird's eye view shot, and then mother comes running out like super quick.
Yeah.
With, like, hardcore violins.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And stabs him in the face, and then he falls down, and they do that weird. Not falling fall thing that looks a little cheesy now, but
how did they do cool that?
Then? I don't know.
What's the setup?
Some kind of
they pull lens the camera angle thingy, back while something else is zooming in.
Okay.
Like, they move the camera physically forward while zooming the lens back.
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, like when they did that, like it was even cool when they did the reverse of that where he was going up the stairs and they did like a weird thing where like it was this very unsettling like distant scenes of the floor.
Yeah. I don't know, that scene really got me. And I wouldn't if someone was like a top down shot of people is gonna freak you out, I wouldn't believe them.
Yeah.
But this did it.
It's good. I also was freaked out by that, mostly because I forgot that it happened. I did give Molly a false sense of security when I said no one else dies in this movie.
That was a
very
lie.
Very confidently told us.
Yeah, it's like, no, she just dies and then they come in and whatever.
And then, like, less than a minute later, mother comes screaming out of that door and stabs him in the face.
Oh, my gosh. The blood, running down his face.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
It's terrifying.
It's great. It is. Yeah, this movie was really good at creating tension out of not a lot.
Yeah, mother's room was creepy AF.
Yeah,
just like the things she had in there were weird.
The whole thing where the sister's exploring the house at the end was so unsettling.
What were those praying hands?
That was weird.
I think it was like a jewelry box, but that was on the top of the jewelry box.
Yeah. It was just like a sculpture of two disembodied hands.
Yeah.
It was really gross.
Man.
And like the closet, all the clothes in the closet to me look like they were just like so old and like had been sitting there for so long.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And, the bed.
Yeah.
The bed had a depression in it of like how the body had been laying there.
For God knows how long.
Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gross.
And then his room was still like the room of a small child.
Yeah.
And he just like slept on a cot in the corner.
What do you think was at the end of that scene when she's exploring the room? She picks up a book and she looks at it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
And she's like shocked by it, but they never like say what.
Is that his journal?
Oh, maybe.
I don't know.
I thought it must have been his journal. But I think there was also something disturbing about that book because it didn't have a title on it and you couldn't tell because there was just like a filigree little thing at either end of the spine. And so as she flipped it, there was just something unsettling about not knowing which way the book was up.
Right.
Mm.
And I think that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, but she picks it up like she's never seen a book before. Like, it's like, what is this strange object?
Maybe.
My first thought was like she was going to look for money inside. Like it was going to be carved out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know.
Maybe back in 1960 that was something like everyone's like, oh, one of those creep books.
No title creep book.
I mean, it was just like that throat scene. It was just meant to make you uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just throw some weird shit in here.
Emphasizing something, yeah. Mm-hmm. I felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Most of, I'd say, the movie.
Yeah, like, there was definitely, for the second half of that movie, like, there was definitely a pretty, like, constant sine wave of, like, whether or not you were putting your hands up on your face and moaning.
Or just deep in your phone.
Or just deep in that phone.
Listen. That's to keep me from getting too nervous.
Molly, you and I bet there would be a creepy flashing vacancy sign. I don't think there was.
No, well, it wasn't flashing. I will say it was creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
That shot was really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
It's raining outside, and so the shot is through the windshield with, like, it's, like, kind of blurry and stuff from mm-hmm. the rain. It's creepy. Mm-hmm. It's dark. Yeah.
It's hotel vacancy.
I think that's a good
12
good
rooms,
bet.
12 vacancy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ooh, creeps.
Because we killed them all.
Creepy.
I don't think there's any skull frame edited into the...
At the very end.
But you said in the...
it's not in the shower scene, I guess.
No.
It's more of like a dissolve over his face, right? Isn't that where it kind of was?
Sort of.
Yeah, it's like a layer. It's like, layered on top of his face.
Yeah.
Kind of a flash of a skull. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like... I mean, you would notice it, but...
It was his mother's skull. It was like his mother's face flashed with his face.
That skull is so creepy.
Yeah.
And they turn her around and her eyes are all sunken in.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Oh, and you remember he talked about the chemicals before for the taxidermy?
Yeah.
It's like, ooh.
And then when he appears in the doorway, that's another... That was real scared me, too.
Mm-hmm.
When he, like, jumps in the doorway. But then Sam Loomis wrestles the knife from his hand, and there's, like, a little over-the-top transformation.
I honestly think that was like it was like just in case the audience doesn't understand what's happening, like we need the wig to fall off, we need the dress to come undone so you see his dress shirt under it,
and then we need a psychologist to explain
for like 10 minutes.
Let's get into it.
Let's do it,
because that guy started talking and I said I hate this guy, but then by the end I was real on board.
I loved
it. The amount of times that his hands went in and out of his pockets and that he like leaned on stuff.
Oh yeah, great lean.
Pointed.
Great point.
Just like always moving.
Yeah, he was.
Always explaining the entire movie essentially.
Yeah.
And I did think like, is this the first time most people have been exposed to the idea of multiple personalities in horror movies?
Yes.
It must have been.
Because now it's like a trope in everything.
Because I was like, I get it. Like, within the first, like, 10 seconds of him talking, I was like, you don't need a whole monologue to explain what's happening.
Yeah.
I felt like watching that to me was like watching many seasons of Lost, and then you finally get to one of those final episodes, and what's his name, Jacob or whatever, sits down and just tells you everything.
Yeah.
And it's the thing you thought you wanted, like, the whole series, and then when it actually happens, it's so boring and stupid sounding. That's how I felt about this whole monologue.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah. But he delivered it
There was such panache to it.
Okay, so while he's having his Columbo moment, and he's explaining all this, he is so ice cold.
Oh, yeah.
To the sister.
Very insensitive.
Like, she doesn't know if her sister is dead or alive.
Yeah.
And she says, is my sister dead? And he says, well, or did he kill my sister? Well, yes and no.
Yeah. And then walks away from her and does another couple of points and leans.
Yeah.
And like, so like an asshole grad student.
Oh, it really was. God. To the point where she even had to, I think, ask again. Yeah.
And
like,
then she goes, so.
And then she's not allowed to have any reaction.
Mm. Yeah.
And, which is so weird, because, I mean, she's such a composed character and, like, a real ass-kicker and a very cool character.
Yeah.
But she really loved her sister, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. all of this ferocity and courage comes out of this love. And, like, in that last scene, you kind of get robbed. Like, I don't think she has to emote or scream or anything. But I really didn't feel like... Like, talk about the crime not being about the victim at all. It was all about Norman Bates.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
I mean,
go ahead. I mean, I get it, but I mean, that to me was, it felt like robbery.
Yeah, it was probably Hitchcock and all the other men who paid for this movie being like, well, a man has to explain at the end, or else the audience isn't going to get it.
Well, and not even Mother got to explain for herself.
Yeah.
We didn't even get to hear her voice do it. We had this exceptionally long monologue from a dude to give us the information.
And, like, yeah. I love how this actor, like, he knew this was his one scene, and he fucking just went for it.
Yeah.
He chews it hard.
Yeah, he does. And you can almost tell each moment where he was like, and in this line, right pocket.
I got obsessed with watching his hands go in and out of his pockets, because it was, like, these very deliberate choice of, like, and now here's where I'll... put my hand back in my pocket and point upwards while I explain that he isn't actually a transvestite in the traditional sense.
That was hard.
Lean slightly on the wall, both hands in pockets.
Yeah. I wonder if you like diagrammed it out. Was like, what are all the possible combinations of hands in pockets, pointing and leaning?
I love the idea of him. All of them? Yeah. I love the idea of him walking around his apartment the night before the shoot. It's like, okay. And then I put my hand in my right pocket.
Oh, for sure he did that. Like, it looks choreographed. The hands in pockets.
I love it.
And a right point and a hand in the pocket.
Oh, I hope he has a little musical score.
Like, to keep it in
yeah,
order.
Yeah, to keep it on time.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. God.
But yeah. Because the happy moment after all of this is we get two little things. We get one, an officer comes in and says something like, basically, the suspect is a bit chilly.
Mm-hmm.
May I bring him this blanket?
Yeah.
And then with that, you get to see my MVP.
Oh, yeah.
Door guy?
Door guy.
Yes.
I read that as well.
Yeah, man. I mean, this actor does not have any lines, but he puts everything in a beautiful, subtle way. But he puts so much into this.
Yeah.
And there's certainly judgment about, really, you're going to give this guy a blanket?
It's almost like an eye roll. Like, yeah, you guys watch this whole movie? That's wacko. Like...
To be clear, we're talking about the guy who stood guard at the door.
At the door, but did not speak.
And then he looked in and out of the room like 12 times. Yeah, I loved him.
Yeah, it was great. Because every time he looked in the room, there was a little bit of like his face, which he just was like, what the fuck's this guy's problem?
He was great.
He was great.
Thor guy. Sure, an MVP.
Thor guy was definitely an MVP.
Oh, boy. Then we should, if we're talking about MVPs, the chief of police for whatever small town.
Sheriff.
But also
Charlie
his wife. Yes, for sure.
Sheriff Chambers.
Sheriff Chambers
and
unnamed wife.
Unnamed wife.
Literally, when they were like, "We have to go to the law enforcement." Literally, it cut to this guy in his, like, with his amazing eyebrows and his oddly printed robe, and both Dan and I just immediately went, yes! Because we knew that this middle-aged, like, this middle-aged actor was going to bring something to the table.
Yeah. He's the one that pronounces Abragat's name Abrogast. Abrogast.
All right, I just love how he was just so condescending the entire time, just like, like, he was dismissive of private investigators. Yeah. Like, well, you should have brought it to the police many days ago.
Yeah.
He probably took you off the scent so he could run off to find your sister and the money. Eyebrows, eyebrows, eyebrows. And then his wife would say something like, I knew him from church camp. Yeah.
But that is, like, the pinnacle of his, like, I'm a shitty dude move. But he finally acquiesces and, like, okay, I'll call the hotel. He just, like, turns to his wife and nods. And then she has to ring the phone and does, like, like 30 yeah. seconds of work.
She's a
just
house secretary.
Hand him the phone.
Amazing.
Oh,
and it was come on, yeah, like chief. It wasn't even like, oh, let me dial and hand it to you. Like she tells the operator to connect with Bates Motel, and it isn't until Norman is on the phone that yeah. she hands it over.
I don't
to
think
him.
He knows how to use the phone.
You think that's what it is?
I think he's incompetent.
Maybe, or he's like, it's the same thing with PI. He's just like, you should just write your thoughts down on paper and send them to the person you want to talk to instead of talking to some tube.
Yeah. I mean, this movie is all about male incompetence,
yeah,
right?
True. Yeah.
Like, she, the sister has to convince everybody, like, hey, something's wrong yep. here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She, the, what's her face, has to, like, get money to, like, pay off her boyfriend's debt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Norman Bates can't even kill someone without pretending to be a woman.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, her boss seems all right. Sam is kind of boring, but he seems to miss the point.
Yeah. Her boss is all right. He, like, gets that creepy cowboy's a creep.
But he's also
but he
like,
say anything about
no,
it.
Do anything about it.
Yeah, he's just like, well, this guy's giving me money, so I'll just let him harass my administrative assistants.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'll go drinking with you. That's what we're doing later.
And
today.
Then he also, I mean, he sees her like driving out of the city stealing money and kind of just like looks around confused.
Yeah.
Wait a second. You're in a car?
Well.
She said she was going home.
Yeah, she said she was going to like, oh, I feel ill. I'm going to lie down for the weekend.
Oh,
so that's why
true.
He was confused.
Okay.
Sure. But he was also like a woman driver.
What is this? The future.
Oh, and there's this very cool moment because the purse she has at work is a white purse.
Oh, yes.
And she puts the money in a white envelope in her white purse. And then when she gets home and you can tell she's decided to commit a crime, she swaps purses to a black purse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is probably why she had to hide it from the police officer later.
Oh,
is that
yeah.
a crimer purse?
Yeah. I'm sorry, man. What color is that purse?
You can't see it. I'll block it with my body. All right, I won't do anything about that.
No.
I mean, as creepy as that cop is, like, he doesn't really do anything.
No, he's not really a good cop. All he does is follow her around, and then she, like, clearly is, like, being very suspicious, and then he's just like, well, I'll let her go.
I mean, to be fair, it is 1960. She's a white woman.
Yeah.
So he's probably just like, whatever.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about the incredible privilege that she shows when she gets pulled over by that cop.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
she tries to drive away. All he does is slightly step in front of him and go, hey, please.
Yeah.
She turns away from him.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah.
Yep.
We bet that all I wrote was condescend to women.
Oh.
I think one of the male PI would condescend to women.
I didn't realize that there was PI and Sam would do stuff.
Yeah.
So I conflated the two and assumed the PI would be the guy who was like, why can't I go along with you? I don't know. But it turned out that Sam was actually more condescending. The PI was actually mostly condescending to Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he was pretty nice to the sister.
That's true, because he suspected Sam.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they both did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know that lean was to intimidate Sam. It was in no way to impress the sister.
And it worked.
She's
it definitely worked. Yeah.
She's very cool.
And then Chief was very condescending as well.
To literally everyone.
To everyone.
Oof. And didn't you get the impression that in this movie, the undertones were, and look how single they are, these strong-willed women. I thought it did. Because maybe the story wouldn't work if they were married, right? Mm. Because then their buffoon husbands would get involved.
Right.
But you know what I mean? Like, she's been working there for 10 years. To me, the subtext of that is no woman at that time wanted to be working for 10 years. You worked maybe 4 or 5 until you found a husband.
Yeah, right? I mean, her entire choice to become a crimer was an act of desperation so that she could get married to Sam. Because he was like, what, I'm going to... We'll get married and you can live in the storage unit that I sleep in together or whatever.
Because
his whole thing was like, I'm still paying alimony to my ex-wife and we can't get married. Blah, blah,
what are you going to do? Lick the stamps? And she says, I would do that.
Right.
And then he, like a modern man, is like, oh no, she likes me too much. I'm going to ghost her on texts.
Yep. Or in this case, I'm going to go stand by the window and air my junk out. Same thing.
We should open up the old segment bag and do an episode of Did They Bang?
Oh!
Did they bang?
Wait, who are we talking about?
Did they bang?
The sheriff and his wife?
Probably not.
For a long time.
Sam and Meredith. What's her name? Marion?
Marion.
Are they banging?
Janet Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, I mean,
they were underpants, and he was clearly naked under the.
You don't think they just got to second base or nothing?
Come on.
Oh, come on.
Oh, no, they were like getting dressed.
Okay.
I thought you meant Sam and her sister. She was like,
I have to go to work.
Oh.
Mmm.
I don't think they make
no. Sam, there was so much kissing in that first scene, too.
Sam's a straight shooter, if a little dumb.
Yeah.
He's not cheating on them.
I mean, he doesn't lean at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He does do... Okay, now that I think about it, though, he does sort of foreshadow men leaning. Because the first time that he gets off of the bed, he sits in the chair, he has his dress shirt draped over his crotch, and he kind of does this weird, like, well...
Yeah.
As, in answer to one of her, like, you know, dumb lady questions. I'm putting that in air quotes. So I guess he's, I don't know, all the men lean except for Norman.
Oh.
He probably does some leaning.
Yeah, he probably does. I don't know.
He does, like.
He does a lot of, like, furtive.
He does a weird leg thing at one point.
Oh, he really walks up sassily up the stairs.
Oh, yes, when he's going up the staircase, his hips are just in this... Do you think he's like,
he's transforming into mother and he's feeling his feminine body?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Just like hip swing.
Yeah,
hip
maybe.
Swing.
Yeah.
Hand and pocket point.
That actually might have been the point of that scene.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
I mean, that dude crushes.
He really does.
It was unbelievable.
A wee bit about Alfred Hitchcock's cameo, and I think we were all wrong.
Yes.
He just is standing on the street.
Yep.
Yeah, he's like doing nothing.
And he trips on a banana peel.
No.
It happens right after it cuts
off.
I feel like
cut that part out.
He could be hailing and failing.
Yeah,
could be.
I mean, he is standing on the street, looking at the street for some reason.
Yeah, probably looking for a cab.
He might have a newspaper under his arm. We don't know.
He's probably shocked by seeing Creeper Cowboy walk past him.
Yeah.
And he's like, that guy's real creepy.
Yeah, he's like, oh, what, uncouth American. Not at all what he sounds like.
Probably is.
He didn't do a ton in his cameo. I thought maybe he would at least move. You know what I mean? Like, at least, like, do any motion in this frame.
Oh. I don't know. And then we also bet there'd be a creepy ending with Norman Bates.
Yeah. Totally.
It's which really is great. Creepy.
He just sits there.
With mother's internal dialogue about how they'll never figure out that she really did it.
Yeah.
If she stays still.
It's like
confused.
So at one point you're probably
a psychologist to explain.
Yeah, you're
it
probably
to.
Distracted by the pockets and the pointing, but he said that like the mother personality had like basically completely overtaken him.
Yeah.
So like mother was sitting in that room and was thinking, and in the mother monologue explains that mother like basically gave Norman up for the murders.
Oh, okay.
So as far as mother is concerned, they don't suspect that she actually killed these people.
Okay. So mother doesn't where does mother think Norman is then? Some other place than the police?
Thing? Yeah.
Okay,
it doesn't
great.
Matter.
But then, slow zoom in on him, and then when he fucking looks up and
right
stares straight
camera.
Down the camera, ooh. It's like, ooh.
Creepy smile.
Shivers.
Ooh.
Shivers.
Yeah. Ooh.
Perks.
Anthony Perks.
The AP.
It's a great job.
Great job.
Yeah, because she has that whole thing about, like, I wouldn't even hurt a fly.
Yeah.
Literally the fly that's crawling on me right now.
Yeah.
I won't even swat this fly.
That's such a great visual, because I just think of, like, flies on, like, corpses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's really great.
Oh, yeah, I guess she spent a lot of time not swatting flies.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I have a question now that we're talking about mom corpses.
Okay.
So, it's explained to us that Norman takes mother's body.
Yes.
And they bury a weighted coffin.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you can just do that back in 1960? You can just, like, walk into a mortuary, pick up a corpse, dump a bunch of rocks in a coffin, and no one's gonna look?
I guess so.
I don't really know
that's
how
weird.
That
she's
works.
Buried.
Yeah.
She's
and
buried
I guess,
on their property?
I guess he could be like, I want a closed casket funeral because I'm the next of kin and I get to say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they'll be like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
And, all right. I think it's the switcheroo part that I'm like harping on. It's just like at some point he would have had
there was one of those spacious trunks.
Probably.
That are so dangerous to society.
Ooh, and he probably went to the funeral director and was like, I have these sandwiches and this gallon of milk.
Oh,
and the funeral director got sleepy after drinking all that milk.
Yeah.
Just took a nap. Yeah. And at that point he snuck out mother's body and brought in, I assume, a wheelbarrow full of bricks. And dumped him into the coffin.
Yeah. God, I just find And I'm sorry if any of the three of you are these people, but adults who drink milk. I find it unsettling.
I have a question for you.
Guess what I did last night?
Did you drink a big glass of milk?
I did.
Oh, how big?
Beth.
Like a full glass of milk.
Did you have a bunch of sandwiches too?
I had some cookies.
Sandwich cookies?
Milk and cookies.
Sandwich cookies?
For dessert. Sandwich
cookies?
I went to bed.
Were they sandwich cookies?
It's a delight.
Were they sandwich cookies?
What do you mean sandwich cookies?
Like Oreos or like.
No, they're just like chocolate chip cookies.
Okay.
Oh, cool. Homemade?
I have a question
or...
for you. Oh, yeah, that's actually a follow up.
Yeah, homemade or store bought?
Store bought.
Okay.
Cool. Chewy,
like
crunchy.
Fancy store bought?
I mean, it was like a Chips Ahoy. Don't
chewy, oh, crunchy?
Like chewy, crunchy.
The cookies
chewy.
Are fine.
Chewy. Like, eat interesting. Cookies. Really?
Now you're getting judged for cookies and milk.
Here's the thing. I switch it up. Sometimes I make cookies. Sometimes I buy cookies. Sometimes I get the crunchy one. Sometimes I get the soft one.
Wow. I'll give cookies and milk as an exception.
All right.
I have a question for you.
Like, I wouldn't just be like, oh, I'm going to have a large glass of milk.
Right?
Like,
yeah. See? That's creepy.
Some people do that, though.
Right? And come at me, milkheads. Segway. Molly, I want to slightly apologize to you for calling you out for your cowardice in telling people to come at you, because I know it is my male privilege to be able to tell people to come at me on the internet.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
and
that's
they probably
true.
Won't.
Yeah, because at any time you could just pretend to be your mother and murder them.
Right, exactly. You can't pretend to be your mother.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You are a notorious tea drinker.
Yeah.
How do you feel about milk and black tea?
Oh
yeah, it's great.
Okay, so as like a garnish.
Oh, so if there's like dead leaves in it.
Here you go, just grab.
Come at me, tea heads.
Go grab some leaves from the yard, Beth. Crinkle them up into your milk, yeah. And then Dan will be fine with it. You mean like it's tea?
Yeah.
No, gross.
I like milk. It's just like ice cream.
I get offered a glass of milk every time I'm at my in-laws, like with dinner. Like that's a thing.
It's a very like Midwestern.
Here's the thing. I will drink a glass of milk. I will do it. I'll drink it with dinner even. But I would not offer someone a sandwich and a glass of milk. That would never, ever happen.
All right.
I would be like, would you like a LaCroix?
And a sandwich
and chips.
Yeah, and like,
make
I don't
your own
know.
Sandwich.
I have some Chips Ahoy. In
what scenario would you offer a guest a glass of milk?
If I had made cookies.
Okay.
Or if they were a small child.
Sure.
Or
yeah, that's what I said. Adults. Like, kids drink milk. Maybe that's where it comes
Does
from.
Does anybody drink warm milk to fall asleep? That freaks me out.
I have done that before, but...
Did it work?
Nothing works for me.
Oh.
That's why I did. I'm like, sure, let's give this a shot.
I might have a hot chocolate.
Sure.
Which is warm milk with chocolate in it.
Yeah.
Unless you go to a fancy French cafe, and then it's literally just chocolate, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It is too much, but it's so good.
That's why it comes in chocolate. Tiny glasses, because America is terrible. Come at me, portion heads. I'm really just in the weeds with you and your milk thing. Is there going to be a point where your son will reach a certain age, where he will ask for a glass of milk, and you will be like, no, sir. You are a grown man.
No.
Okay.
Because in reality, it's fine, and I'm not going to be that controlling over my child's, like, fine things that I just find weird.
Yeah.
But the better question is, will there be a point where I find it unsettling and weird? And probably.
Yeah. Okay. Follow-up question to that, then.
16, maybe?
Sure. Okay. Okay. So then this is my follow-up question
that's a little
for you.
14.
Again. 14. Okay. So your son is 14. He goes
Why is he asking at 14? Why is
I'm
he
moving,
asking?
I'm changing the scenario. I'm changing the parameters of the scenario for this follow-up question. Okay, so you're in your house.
Yeah.
Your son comes home from school, goes to the fridge, pours himself a glass of milk. Do you keep it inside, or do you comment on it? Like, even like in a passive aggressive, like, oh, a glass of milk, huh?
Yeah, I'd probably make a joke. Yeah. That's the way it's gonna go. I thought the situation was I come downstairs and my kid's just drinking a big glass of milk in the middle of the night, and I imagine that I got real freaked out. Hello, father.
Well, sure. I mean, if he's making direct eye contact with you and not breaking it the entire time,
sitting in the dark, drinking a glass of milk,
petting the cat.
Yeah.
The cat would make it better. Just like standing and drinking milk in the dark. That's my new horror movie.
Standing and doing anything in the dark would be unsettling.
You think that having the cat would be better in that scenario?
Yeah, then you're like...
He's standing in the dark, petting a cat, and drinking
glasses. Well, at least then you're like engaging with the cat, right? Like, at least then it's like,
oh, hi, cat.
But he's also, he's not engaging with the cat because he's still making direct eye contact.
But, like, before Dan came down, he was engaged with the cat, right? Yeah.
No, he was staring up at the stairs.
He knew father would be
I mean, yeah, the eye contact is the worst part of that situation.
That is the worst. Yeah.
So, basically,
it goes eye contact, milk.
Yep.
Dark,
yep.
Standing cat.
Okay. What I think all of our listeners can conclude from this journey we've taken is you're terrified of making eye contact with your child.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's the window to the soul.
Right.
And you'll see me for the fraud that I am.
Oh, no. Wow. Okay. Someone out there, please Photoshop the scene at the end of Psycho where Norman is looking right at the camera. Photoshop him taking a swig of milk.
That would be so much worse.
Oh, it would be amazing.
Like, eyes come up, eye contact,
brings up the milk,
comes into frame. That, if I did a shot-for-shot remake, which we haven't talked about yet, that would be the only change I would make.
Throw in the milk scene.
Throw in the milk at the very end. And then maybe other hand comes up and there's a sandwich in it.
I have a question about those sandwiches.
Yeah.
What was on those sandwiches?
Oh, yeah. She's just buttering bread and eating buttered bread. Like, not a sandwich.
Because at a certain point...
I thought it was a mayonnaise sandwich.
Well, that's what I was so confused, because at a certain point, it looked like she was either eating a slice of bread with a very thick piece of cheese on it or a gigantic slice of butter. Right? Like, there was, like, a very thick non-bread substance on the top of that bread.
Yeah, she is not getting sandwiches.
Did she open the sandwich up? Is that what happened?
Well, then she's
eating like a bird. She took the top.
Oh, that's why it's like a bird. But then that's not how birds eat.
But then what she's spreading on there?
Butter. It's definitely butter.
So she's got a cheese. She's got a cold cheese sandwich.
Yes, with you have something against dairy.
Then she opens, spreads butter on one half, eats it, and then eats the other half.
Yeah, and then
buttered bread.
Okay, she deserves to die.
Oh my god!
What did she say? What did you say?
I said she deserved to die for eating sandwiches.
Shut
so
your
weird.
Face. You shut your pie hole. No, she did not.
She didn't even drink the milk, man.
She was too creeped out by the conversation to even focus on grasping a sandwich and putting it to her face.
She was just holding that knife in her hand and she was like making it look like she was doing
something.
It was
an impotent butter knife, not even a good knife that could defend her.
Yeah.
And he called her a bird and she admitted her last name was Crane. And I was like, get the fuck out of there. Just get in your car and drive.
That's when you thought she was doomed.
Oh, well, yeah.
If she hadn't said Crane, she would have been fine.
Oh, that's right, because you decided because Norman Bates loved to use his taxidermy skills on birds, but the reason he kills her is because he associates her with birds.
No, I just thought that was, like, not a helpful way to end that conversation.
Sure.
Like, honestly.
She was bad at criming. And sandwich eating, apparently.
And she was going to turn herself in and figure out how to make up that $700.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she had to do the math on a sheet of paper. She then got very
upset about it, tore up and flushed down the toilet. Oh, flush fact! Didn't you say that this was the first?
This was the first American movie to show a toilet, let alone one flushing.
Oh, it's amazing!
And audiences were very upset.
That is my favorite fact in the world.
Crazy.
I love the idea of someone saying, "Like, mother, can we go see the new Hitchcock movie?" It's like, no, I've heard there's a deviant toilet scene in this film.
And now my big complaint about a lot of independent films is that they feature people either sitting on toilets or toilets like an inordinate amount of the time. Like, there are so many small short films that start with somebody waking up, brushing their teeth, and sitting on the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is no longer revolutionary.
Would you say this is just
somebody sitting on the toilet.
This is another thing that Hitchcock did first. Are toilets now the naked lady stabbings of 2017 indie film?
Yeah, I guess so.
He's done it all.
He's done it all.
What's left to do
with the
film?
There is nothing left to do. Pack it up, everybody.
Yeah.
Stop making movies.
Stop it.
We're all just
going to watch old ones anyway.
Yeah,
We're all just going to watch stupid baking shows that have no merit.
That's actually probably true.
Yeah.
In this day and age.
I shouldn't be rewarding them, but they're so fun.
Is there a toilet in it?
No. There's precocious children drinking milk.
Children drinking milk is fine. It's like in the dark, standing in the middle of the room.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. My kid drinks milk all the time.
Okay.
He's fine. He's a kid.
Okay. All right.
Sure. But do you always, like, when you pour him a glass of milk, do you always make a show of being like, no, thanks. I don't want any.
Daddy milk? No. Milk is not for adults.
Certainly not for men.
Great.
All right.
Come at me, milk industry.
They will.
They absolutely will. That is why do you think most Midwestern adults still drink milk?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Old Smoke Mustache ads.
Mm-hmm. So appreciate how strong the dairy industry is that we live in a state where you can drive with no helmet as fast as you want on any motorcycle in the state because it's nobody's business. But if you want to buy a quart of raw milk, forget about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're under arrest.
Really?
No, but they have done raids.
What?
Yes.
Of like raw milk houses?
Yes. Yes.
That's amazing.
And did they like bust them up like speakeasy times?
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of like burly men with mustaches and suspenders and sledgehammers breaking milk tanks?
They probably just like force pasteurize it.
That'd be awesome if a bunch of burly dudes came in with like irradiator guns and just like zapped all the barrels. That'd be incredible.
Louis Pasteur sends his regards.
This is the episode about the movie Psycho, if anyone's forgotten.
Yeah. I guess we've run out of things to say about this movie.
Oh, I did just write down the word thirsteroony.
Who said that?
The creepy dude.
Oh, yeah, Skeevy Cowboy.
Skeevy Cowboy.
Used the word thirsteroony.
That was amazing.
He was horrible. He started out bad, and then he just got progressively more heinously insane.
Yeah.
Like, as time went on.
Yeah, because first he was just, like, super capitalist cowboy. Then he was creep supreme on Marion. And then he clearly was, like, a dick to her boss, too. Like, you could tell, like, he was very much a power play. It's like, we're going to get drunk tonight, right, guy? Thirsteroony, or whatever.
And he's probably going to, like, force him to take him to some, like...
brothel.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
That was for sure.
It's like, oh, where's a fine capitalist cowboy to have a little fun around here?
Let's go to the cat house.
Right outside of Phoenix, Arizona, Thursday, December 25th.
Oh, yeah, he wants to take Mary into Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
He's so gross.
Ooh, creep supreme.
He's the worst.
At least he bought his daughter a house, though, right?
No, she's getting married at 18 to get out of his house.
Oh, yeah, that's clearly a power play on his part, too.
Gross.
It's like, I gave you a house.
I put peepholes in all the rooms.
Ugh. Ugh. Why?
Just because that's this kind of movie.
All right, that's fair.
I don't know.
Psycho, : men are the worst.
Yeah.
that should have been the title.
Mm-hmm.
I do, as I was thinking about this movie and thinking about how we were going to say Creep Supreme, I wish we had started cataloging those and then we could do like a Creep Supreme power rankings.
Ooh, yeah. I'll do it.
Great.
I mean,
hey, Toadshead, see if you can beat Dan to catalog in all of our creeps.
Yeah, I would encourage you to try to beat me because it will probably take a while.
Yeah.
Well, there's that one guy in Con Air. There are a bunch of creeps.
I was going to say, like, most of the plan is Creep Supreme.
We'll send you 5 stickers.
Sure.
Oh, that's a lot of stickers.
That's a lot of stickers.
That's
sticker.
Like a good portion.
Wait, what happened?
I thought you said it was too many stickers.
No, we were saying that's just a lot.
Oh, okay.
That sounds like an enticing.
We're trying to hype up the pitch. We're like California Charlie.
5 stickers. Another way you can get a sticker is to subscribe to our Patreon at the $5
level.
That's
or
awesome.
More.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems right.
Anyway.
Listen, guys.
I love Creep Supremes.
We just review movies, but mostly talk about dairy products.
Yeah.
Or friends.
Like, be prepared. If this is your first episode.
Doesn't Joey drink a lot of milk?
I don't know.
Is that a thing? I don't remember.
Well, find out. Sometime.
Yeah. If you get us up to $1,000 a month and we get to whatever episode that is. And then we'll see if Sheldon also drinks a lot of milk.
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
$2,000 a month.
Yeah, it is gross. Thank you.
I made a shocked face.
Yeah.
$2,000 a month. We'll make Dan drink a glass of milk before every podcast.
Every podcast?
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's mean.
I'll do that at $2,000.
All right. You heard it here first.
We'll live Instagram it.
Yeah. Oof. I'll have to figure out how to do that first.
We got time, presumably.
Yeah. Unless this is what really makes people, like, just open up their wall. It's like, we got to get that guy to drink milk.
It's good for his bones.
Yeah. He needs more calcium in his diet.
I probably do.
You should. I mean, it's... humans are one of the only mammals that even continue to drink milk after their childhood. So there's a lot of controversial evidence of whether or not it's actually a useful thing for your bone structure to continue to drink milk. Just get calcium from leafy greens and other legumes or whatever the fuck it is. It doesn't matter.
We're going to cut this out of the podcast.
We can't. Like, half the recording is about milk now. This is the show.
It's not the show we wanted.
No.
But it's a show
we got. It's a show we got. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's like you go in.
You release with the podcast you have, not the podcast you want.
Exactly. You go into a podcast. You listen to a podcast. You think like, oh, okay, this is about the movie Psycho. And the movie Psycho goes on a little story arc and is driving across the desert and finally ends up at a strange hotel. And then suddenly halfway through the movie, shocker of all shockers, suddenly the podcast is just about milk for 25 minutes. Yeah.
I should follow up on, now I'm feeling bad that my future, my son is going to listen to this and think that I would be creeped out by him. I love you.
Aww.
Even if you're drinking milk in the dark, petting the cat, staring at the place I'm about to occupy, I still love you.
Aww.
Before we... Wow. Before we get to our final ratings of the movie... we like to do a reader review of our podcast and the impression of a character from this movie.
Yes.
Dan was actively working on the sheriff during the movie, mm-hmm. which had an adorable and delightful accent, but
Thank
there's
you.
No reviews, so too bad.
It's all for me. It's just for me.
Yeah. Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So if you want a review read...
Yeah.
Which is a fun part of this podcast.
Yeah.
We like to do.
We love doing it.
Write a GD review on iTunes or anywhere else, but you have to tell us that you wrote it anywhere else because we will not check.
Write a review about milk and just post it on our podcast.
Yes. I would love that.
Please do that.
Please.
Honestly.
Milk. 5 stars.
Please defend milk on our iTunes page. That would be amazing. Yeah.
I will read it gladly.
Oh.
So, Dan, you gave this movie a 4 crime hotels.
Yep.
Because you thought society said it was good.
Yep.
And you remembered it being good and you thought it would be good.
Yeah. I had a great time. 5 crime hotels.
Whoa.
What? Whoa.
Beth, you also gave it 5 crime hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Because you really like Hitchcock.
Yep. I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was great. Well acted. Even better than I remember.
Mm.
I would give it more than 5 if I could.
Wow.
But you can.
But I can't. And.
Would you say 5 crime hotels and a crimer house up the road?
Yeah.
Great. I gave it 4 worried about black and white prejudice, which I didn't have.
Ooh.
In fact, I didn't even think about it being black and white the entire movie, except when I was like, chocolate sauce, because black and white. And then also people's clothes were like all beige looking. So I was like, oh, it would be a lot different to pick clothes knowing that they would be in black and white.
Totally.
Like costuming's a whole different bag.
Yeah.
Right?
For
apparently,
sure.
I Love Lucy, the set and all the costumes were black and white in variations.
Ah.
Oh, like in real life?
Yeah.
Oh, oh. Weird.
That'd be
but
wild
you know
to
what?
See color video
I have
of that.
Already given 2 facts on this podcast that turned out to not be true. I don't know.
All right.
Maybe not.
Look it up. Tweet at us. What that Lucy color clothes. Lucy.
Lucy. What that Lucy.
What that Lucy costume color.
Color scheme.
I don't know.
.com.
Hashtag, you got some splaining to do.
No.
Color clothes.
Yeah. What's the hashtag where people have a better one? Oh, something hole?
Oh.
Salad hole.
Salad hole.
Yeah. Hashtag salad hole. And then do a better hashtag.
Yeah.
But let's bump it up 5. This movie's great.
Cool.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Better than this is the first time where I watched it where I felt like I could identify good acting.
Yeah.
And then I did that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it made you feel smart and good.
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
I get that. I
so
get
you
that.
Made it about you and
yep.
that's thus...
I'm a white man in America. What else am I gonna do?
I mean, I said that in a teasing way, but I also give this a 5.
Oh.
In part because I think that Hitchcock makes you, the audience, feel smart because you do notice things because he makes you notice them. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, look how perceptive I am. So then when he takes you by surprise, you're all the more like shocked because you had had all this fabulous insight based on the things he had already shown you, but you weren't consciously aware he was showing you.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, pretty, I mean, I don't know. I feel like a dum-dum. Like, oh yeah, Alfred Hitchcock, pretty good.
I know. Hey guys, I don't know if you've heard.
But yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, I did one more thought, because that's how I do things. Mm-hmm. It was wild to think about people watching this movie the first time and not knowing that he's his mother. Like, I don't think I've ever viewed the movie and not known that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Me too. It's gotta be crazy.
That'd be like a wild, and I was trying to think at what point you figure it out. Mm-hmm. Normally in the movie, is it when the sheriff literally says like his mother's been dead for 10 years? But then there's the shot of him coming down the stairs with her, so then we're still led to believe that
maybe she's
I
not
think,
dead.
I think it's like, oh, so what's the deal?
She killed, they like, she faked her death, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's not maybe think, not till the end
literally
when, it's like,
when she turns around in the chair that's supposed to be like, holy what
shit. Yeah, and then people's brains explode.
No, that had to have been fucking crazy.
It's like reading Dracula. I think about that time whenever I read Dracula. It's like people didn't know vampires, really, unless you were like a weird Eastern European folklore enthusiast. Because that was the first, not the first, as we've talked about, not the first vampire novel in Western society, but the first major one that really brought it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Now it's like vampires, who cares? They're everywhere. But then it's like, oh shit, you can suck your blood and turn into a bat.
I still, it's like, wild. For years and years, I watched one, like, cut-rate, crappy Dracula movie. And in it, the woman is lying there, and once again, very sexualized, but whatever. She's lying in bed.
That's extra true for vampires.
Yes. And her neck is just totally exposed and to the right, and she's lying in this bed in, like, this white nightgown. And the vampire comes in and, like, bites her neck. And I remember making a vow, and I was probably, like, 6 years old, and I was like, oh, you should just cover up your neck when you sleep. So for many years, I would just tuck the sheet right under my chin line.
And
I was
like,
come at me, vampires. I'm way ahead of you. And that's how I slept for years. Wow. Like, I forgot why I was doing that when I was in high school.
Hmm.
I think I still did it in college.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have just not invited them in.
That wasn't a rule. That wasn't a rule until let them in, as far as I know.
You could put a bunch of garlic around your windows.
Thought about it, but
until
parents
might
ask a question.
Mother-in-law takes it down.
What?
That's what happens to Dracula. Oh. They put a bunch of garlic on the windows, and it keeps them away for a couple nights. But then, like, someone's mother, some old woman.
Some dumb lady.
Like, takes it down because she's worried the vapors are going to be bad.
Oh, sure.
And then all the men are like, no, what have you done?
You fool! Foolish woman! And then it's that for 20 minutes. And then they kill Dracula.
Anyway, the book's great.
It is a great book. Go read.
Go read a book for once.
Hey, guess what? This movie was a novel, too. I don't know if it's any good, but you could read it and tell us.
Hey, Norman Bates impersonator, read Dracula.
Probably
instead of listening to this podcast.
Oh, right. Oh. The guy at the studio tour. I forgot that was a character in this podcast.
Yeah, he's listening to this or reading.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
How many Bates do you think there have been?
Ooh, great question.
At the Universal Tours?
Yeah, just at the Universal Tours.
God.
I mean, you got to age out of it, right?
There's got to be one. Oh, I was going to say that there's one in Florida, but I don't know if they do the tours in Florida.
Yeah, but even like, I mean, are there multiple during any given day? Yeah.
Probably.
That's got to be a sweet gig, though,
right?
Got to
be
shifts.
You can't drink that much milk in one day.
Oh, that's... Oh. Now I'm horrified at that joke.
Drink a glass of milk every, like, 15 minutes?
Every...
Oh my God. Nightmare job.
That's why there's so much turnover. It's just like, oh, boss, I just got to lie down for
so
a while.
So heavy.
Gross.
Happy Halloween!
All right. Trick or milk. Or a milk or treat. I guess it would be free.
Trick or treat and someone just dropped a little like milk box.
Like a little
thing.
Or a little carton.
No, just a full glass.
Yeah, just like a glass of milk.
Or just like took that huge pitcher that Norman Bates had.
Just poured it into your bag. All of these
Here's
are good ideas.
Fresh
That's
milk.
A power move. To
Everyone
pour
do
liquid
that.
Into someone's trick or treat bag.
Oh. I think it'd be great. Milk with chocolate candy. Delicious.
I mean, those are kids. That's fine.
Okay. Well, they should be kids, right?
Yeah. Hey, teens, come and trick-or-treating. Stop it. Go to a party in Neck or something.
Or get ready for a bag full of milk.
Yeah. Any teen show or my door, I gotta get a bunch of milk.
You heard it here first.
Totes Recall is hosted by Molly Chase, Beth Gibbs, Dan DeQuette, and Dan Linden. Produced by Beth Gibbs. New episodes of Totes Recall drop on the 15th of every month. For more information and bonus content, visit us at totesrecall.com. Thank you so much for listening.